Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to start your day. If you go way back to our radio broadcast, we used to start with this little children's song. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to start your day. And a rooster would crow. That doesn't mean anything to you. But that's what I thought about today. Everybody's doing good. The time has changed. You're tired. We're all tired, right? I'm glad that we have cell phones that automatically change that time, huh? That saves us. We want to welcome Las Vegas today. Welcome, Las Vegas. I miss you guys. I miss Las Vegas. I miss going to the Fashion Show Mall. I miss going to Whole Foods and the best gym in the whole world, the Las Vegas Athletic Club. Oh, I miss that. But most of all, I miss you. Las Vegas Athletic Club, you go into like a leg machine. They have 32 leg machines. You go, whoa. I miss Las Vegas, but I miss you guys. Glad you're with us today. Now, before we even start, I don't know, if there's any single parents in here, would you stand? I just feel that I want to say a prayer. For any single parents raising kids, Las Vegas, same thing. Las Vegas, any single parents, stand. I want to pray for you. I want people to take notice of you because we need to pray for you. And I'm going to pray for all the single parents that are out there watching on the internet, the ones in Vegas, ones here. Father God, I felt led today to ask for special grace for all of our single parents. Lord God, they need grace. They're handling a very big job. Help them, Lord, and give them special grace and favor starting today in Jesus' name. Everybody can say amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for standing. What if I told you guys that the Bible gives us very detailed instructions on how to move God's heart in such a way that His presence is going to overwhelm your life. His blessings are going to overwhelm your life. What if I told you that's in the Bible? It says, do this, and God's presence will overwhelm you. His presence will invade your life. I mean, if that's true, and it is, wouldn't you want to know what those instructions are? I think you would. Now, I don't know about you, but I take God at His word. If He says, do this and I'll bless you, then I'm going to do that. So we're going to kind of get into this today. I'm going to watch the clock because I have to be on time. Now let me say this at the outset. We don't obey God in order to get blessings. That's not why we do it. We obey God because that's the right thing to do. We obey God because usually in the things that He asks us to do, His heart is in that. And so we do it because it's the right thing to do, not to get blessed. But regardless of that, He tells us about the blessings anyway. For some reason, He wanted them in there. You'll have to ask Him when you get to heaven. He wants the blessings in there. Now in our text today, these people are struggling to get their spiritual life to work right. They're struggling. They're trying to connect with God, and they're not connecting, and they're frustrated. They're saying, hey, we fast and pray, we're doing these things, but we're not connecting with you. You're not meeting us at those points of connection. And so they were frustrated. Now, do I have your attention yet? Are you with me? I hope you are. We used to have a Jeep, and I'll never forget, one day Debbie and I were going somewhere in our Jeep, and I stopped by the gas station to get gas, and I probably got about 6 blocks away from the gas station, and my Jeep started sputtering and spitting, and it would barely go, and I'd give it gas, and it sputtered even the more, and pretty soon it just died by the road. I looked at my wife, and I said, you drove this Jeep last. Isn't that the way it is in marriage? I said, what kind of gas did you put in this? Did you put some kind of cheap gas? And we start thinking, and she says, wait a minute, did you just put diesel in this Jeep? I said, oh my gosh, I did. See, we have an Audi that is diesel, and we have to put diesel in our Audi. I wasn't thinking to put diesel in my gasoline-driven Jeep. And it just died, and I go, oh no. The idea is it wasn't designed to function on what I was putting in it. Now, we were designed to live in such a way. When we live in that way, God is going to bless us. He's going to meet us. He's going to be there for us. Tony Evans says, people want the vertical without the horizontal, but God connects the vertical with the horizontal. And so both of these have to be in place. How many of you ever tried to put something together without reading the directions? You ever tried that, especially around Christmas time or whatever? And what happens? Very often you have to go back, tear it apart, look at the directions, and do it right. Why don't we follow God's directions and just do it right the first time? He's got the directions right in here. Now let's take a look at our text today. Before we do, I want to explain to you something that a lot of you might not know. I was probably in my 20s. This ministry was just really taken off. And one day, it was on a Saturday, I jumped in the shower. Now, again, I know that you probably have a hard time thinking that God really speaks in these instances, but I'm telling you, He really spoke to me. I got in the shower, and the voice was loud and clear. It says, my people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And immediately, now again, this is God speaking. God speaks a lot. We just don't always pick up on it and discern it. And I know it was God. With hindsight, very often you don't know it was God speaking until it's hindsight, till you look back. But I heard Him say that. My people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And I heard it as precise as I'm giving it right now. He said, when you get out of the shower, read Isaiah 58. Now, at that time, I'm in my 20s. I had no clue what Isaiah 58 said. And so as soon as I got out of my shower, I go, okay, I'm going to read Isaiah 58. And I open the Bible, and I'll paraphrase it for you right now. It basically says, my people play church, and they delight in the nearness of God. He said in that chapter, if they will stop playing church and live after my heart, he says, then I will be the God they've always wanted me to be. That's basically the paraphrased version of Isaiah 58. Now, to even confirm to me more that it was God, I didn't tell anybody about that except my wife. I said, God just spoke to me, blah, blah, and I didn't tell anybody else. Now, we had a guest speaker that morning at our church, Ron Pennington from Taft. And he came out, and I did not say a word to him, and nobody else knew. And he started preaching, and he got probably 10 minutes into his sermon, he says, man, God's telling me I have to take you guys to Isaiah 58. He has a word for you in Isaiah 58. Now, all this transpired within 24 hours. Now, with hindsight, we can know that's God, right? And I said, afterwards, I said, you had no clue. He said, oh, I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me to do that. And so God went on to tell me, and we haven't always been true to this. He said, I want you to base this church on Isaiah 58. I want it to be your focal point. And we've got away from that a lot, and we keep trying to come back to it. Let's read Isaiah 58, 1 through 3. Cry loudly. Okay, that's just what I do. I like to cry loudly. Cry loudly. Don't hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you did not notice. So he ends with a question here. And here's where I'll paraphrase. God says to Isaiah, because you have your priorities wrong. That's the reason I haven't answered. You are into all of the fasting, the praying, all of the, you know, things that a church does, but you're not loving people. He said, that's the key thing that I want you to do, is love people. Today, as we look at the church at large across America, we put a lot of emphasis on sometimes our praise services, and that's good, nothing bad about that. We put a lot of emphasis on our potluck dinners and our fellowship times, and the church in a lot of places has become very ingrown. We're just almost like a club. Now, it says here in Isaiah that their emphasis was on fasting and prayer and the inward workings of the church. Now, I haven't read many good books on fasting. I believe that the primary objective of fasting is to hear God's voice. The bottom line is that if you do a fast for more than 3 days, your body's like an incinerator. It's like a machine. It shuts down after 3 days, and you know, your body's not digesting food. All the blood isn't traveling certain places that it normally would when you're eating and all of that. And you become very sensitive to God. Now, these people were into fasting, but notice in our text it says they were fasting, but God wasn't answering, which confirms my idea that the primary objective of fasting is to hear God's voice. When you need to really hear God's voice, sometimes you need to fast for more than 3 days and shut the machine down so you can become very sensitive to the spirit world. So their priorities were not right. Now, God says, if you really want to see me in your life and you really want to feel my presence and see my promises fulfilled, he says, I want you to take care of the needs of others. And he specifies here, he says, the hungry, the homeless, the naked, the oppressed, and the poor. And he said, if you do that, and I counted them, he said, there's 14 things I will do in your life. In Isaiah 58, he specified 14 different things I will do in your life if you really start going out and ministering to the hungry, homeless, naked, oppressed, and poor. Now, obviously, I don't have time to cover all 14 of those today, but at least let me take a look at them. The first promise he gives us there, he says, your light will break out like the dawn. Now, the idea here is a new day will begin in life, a new chapter. Once you start living this way and center your life around it, he said, a new chapter will begin in your life. I know the two or three times in my walk with God when I really rededicated my life and come back to the basics, I go, oh my goodness, all of a sudden my prayers are being answered. All of a sudden I feel God's presence. It's absolutely crazy. Let me just ask you, is anyone here in need of a start over? Do you feel like you need to write a new chapter? Well, this is the way that you do it according to Scripture right here. Now, the Bible says that God is love. Look at 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love of God, that on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. It doesn't say that God loves. It says he is love. He can't help himself. That is, his essential character is love. Now, we're told that Jesus was the exact representation of God when he was on this earth. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, I want to show you how loving our Father God is. Look at Matthew 15:32 in the feeding of the 4,000 story. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have pity and sympathy, and I'm deeply moved for the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days, and they have nothing at all left to eat. And I'm not willing to send them away hungry, lest they faint or become exhausted on the way. See, God is love. Now Jesus is looking at this crowd, and they haven't eaten for a while, and he says he has compassion from in here. Compassion for them, because they haven't eaten. He said, I feel so bad for them. Now, I might not have heard this crowd to fast for a day or two, but Jesus really, really hurt for them. And so he had a heart for the poor and the hurting. Now, again, I was part of a seminar conference back in New Mexico years ago. And I told you, I was to speak to pastors about evangelism in the 80s. And I told you, I got up and I had all my PowerPoints up and how we were going to evangelize in the 80s. And then an older pastor, he was also on this speaking conference with me. He was going to speak behind me. He got up and shot down everything that I had on my PowerPoints. He said, before we can ever minister to the lost, we have to have a heart for the lost. We have to have a passion for them. And I thought, gee, yeah, that goes before all of my fantastic PowerPoints. Now, look at John chapter 11, 33 through 35. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved. Now, when was he deeply moved? When he saw them weeping. Now, Jesus already knows he's going to resurrect Lazarus. But when he sees them weeping, he's deeply moved in the spirit, and he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And if you ever memorize a verse right here, you can memorize this verse, 11:35. Jesus wept. I am so glad this is in the Bible. I'm so glad it's there. Because years ago, I don't know if I was just hard-hearted or what, but I would watch these evangelists, one in specific on TV, and he would be preaching, he was always crying, and I thought, man, that guy loves God. I said, God, why can't I ever cry like that? I want to be able to be moved by God in such a way I can cry. I should have never prayed that prayer. For the last years, I can't help myself. If I see my daughter or my wife or someone crying, I start crying. Anybody else like that? Is it just me? When I see loved ones, people close, when I see them crying, I start crying too. And it's weird. And I'm so glad to see that this is in the Bible. Jesus did it. Even though he knew he was going to resurrect Lazarus, when he saw them crying at that moment, he so identified with their hurt that he started crying. I was at a pastor's conference in Colorado one day. I'll never forget. It was a defining moment. Isn't that funny how certain things stick in your mind they happened decades ago? This old pastor got up and he said, this week, I was praying over you pastors. And I was praying for you because I had a concern for you. I know a lot of you are very frustrated and discouraged. And I was praying over you and praying over my message, praying over you and praying over my message. And I began to weep, he said, and I began to cry. And I cried tears and tears. And I looked up at God and I said, God, do you ever cry like this? And God said, who do you think's crying through you right now? Who do you think's doing the crying? And that stuck with me. I mean, Jesus loves us so much that when we cry, he cries. I got a rhema for someone, and I don't know who it's for. But the Lord wants me to tell you, he cries with you. He sees you crying, he cries with you. Somebody here, maybe it's in the audience out there in the internet, maybe it's in Las Vegas, you have been blaming God and been mad at God over something that you think he could have prevented. And he wants me to tell you today, he could not have prevented that. God is spirit, but he wants you to know he cries with you. He hurts with you. He sees your tears. And that's a rhema for someone out there today, and I hope it sets you free. God is love. It's his primary essence. Now, I've said it before, and this is redundant, and I know I'm known for redundancy a little bit, but sometimes I feel sorry for God because God is love. I don't know what it's like to be love. I know what it's like to love, but to be love, that's a crazy thing. And sometimes I feel sorry for God. You know why? Because we're the only body he has. And God's up in heaven very often. He sees somebody in the hospital today, and they don't have any loved ones, no visitors. And he says, man, if I had a body, I'd go see them. God sees orphans, and he says, man, why doesn't somebody, if I had a body, I'd start giving money to them. I'd start feeding them. He sees prisoners in jail who get no mail at all. And God says, oh, my, if I just had a body. We are his body. He's relying on us. Look at Matthew 25, 34 through 37 to 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you something to drink? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least, you did it to me. Again, do you know I have the opportunity today of buying Jesus a hamburger? I do. If someone asks me for something to eat, I have a chance to buy Jesus a burger. Right now, as we sit here in every service, I have guys scouring the parking lot to look for ball tires. And when we find them, we're going to put tires on the car. They're scouring right now. If you have ball tires, you should have a note on your car when you go out there. And don't go tell your friends to come to church with ball tires, okay? I don't need that. Can I count on you to keep this quiet? I might not do it in second service. Who knows? I know I'm doing it this service. And you know why? Because we're to help the legitimately poor. And people who are coming to church and trying to get their life together, those are the legitimate poor people. We're not to give these people standing on the corners all the time. A lot of those people are sluggers or drug addicts or alcoholics, but we're to give to the legitimate poor. So I have the chance to put tires on Jesus' car today. That's nuts. Now, Jesus closely identifies with hurting people. Not just believers, but all hurting people. That's the crazy thing. Look what he says about the broken heart. Look at Psalms 34, 18. It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. How does he save them? Through us. We're his body. Look at Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. God has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners. Now, it broke my heart. This is another defining moment. The organized church sometimes has it so wrong. We went to Mulegé down in Mexico to minister, years ago. And we got together all the churches and we said, we want to minister to the poor with you. We brought groceries down, we bought groceries. And so the pastor who was over the whole thing, he said, okay, here's the deal. Go out and we will show you where the church people live, give them food. And so we're out there going to where he directed us. And I looked down and I saw a group of people outside of a house down there, and they were looking at us. I said, well, let's go bring them some food. And the pastor, no, they're not part of the church. I said, you have to be kidding me. They're not part of the church, they don't get food. We should give to everybody or nobody. And so I told the guys, I don't want to override the pastor, but I'm going to. Go give them some food. And we went down, and I could not believe it. See, we've got to love people. And again, I'm going to be a little redundant again. But I want you to see God's heart. Again, what if you had a loved one like many people in the church do? I know several that have wayward kids that are out in the street somewhere. But what if you had a loved one, a child out in the streets today, and he was lost and hurting, and someone called you up and said, hey, I saw your son or I saw your daughter in the street today. And I want to tell you, they were cold. I went and bought him a sleeping bag. It gets down to 0 degrees. I bought him a burger, fries, and a shake. I brought him a whole bag of groceries, and I gave him my phone number. I said, anytime you need anything, just call on me. Now, if someone did that for you, wouldn't you want to bless them? Wouldn't you really love that person that did that for your kid? And that's the way God feels. When he sees us reaching out and fulfilling Scripture and helping the brokenhearted, his heart goes out to us. He's the same way as that. The homeless navigation center down the street. What a story. You remember, when they first talked about putting this thing in, we said, well, be careful. Don't put too many people. Let's stay at 150 or something, and we can handle that. But just don't go too big too fast. And we said, but if you put it in, we'll be really good neighbors. Who would have ever known that the director of the homeless center started coming to this church and became a member of this church before he got the job? And so our guy is down there running that center. We went down and we toured it twice last week. And I'm telling you, it's a class act. That's the Taj Mahal of homeless places. I mean, they even wash their clothes, dry their clothes. They have three meals a day, and their whole idea is to get those people into permanent housing. They've got doctors in there every day. They got counselors in there every day. They got psychiatrists in there every day. I mean, it's really cool, really cool. Now, we're so lucky that God put it in close to us. Does that sound weird? Other churches, they should envy us. God put it close to us. And now on Sundays, they'll be bringing Van and bringing some of the guests down here to be a part of our church. I want to have a church service there. And I want to have their guests doing the worship, and they could do the announcements, everything. We'll just come in and give the word. I want to love on these people. Now, real quickly, and we gave you the number one promise, and I can't believe I'm really watching the clock. But today, I'm in a different frame of mind. I'm just going to go slow and cover what I cover. And if time's up, I'll just quit in the middle of my message and come back. I'm just not going to worry about it. But the second thing that it says in Isaiah 58, your recovery will speedily spring forth when you start giving attention to these groups of people, the poor and the needy. Now, in the Hebrew, what this means is you'll be restored to soundness. Your wounds will be turned into scars, and your scars into stars. Now, a lot of us have wounds. If I said certain things or brought up certain topics, man, your jaw muscles begin to work. And, oh, you know, you haven't been healed of these wounds. But it says that when you start giving to the poor and hungry, those wounds will be healed and turned into scars real quickly, real quickly. Now, look at number three. It says your righteousness will go before you. That's your reputation will go before you. People will say, man, that's a man or woman of integrity. And it'll open up all kinds of doors for you. I mean, again, Matthew 6:33. We're to concentrate on God's kingdom. Seek ye first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else you need will be added to you. Now, can I say something there? A lot of Christians are not having their needs met because they're not connecting the dots. And you've got to connect the dots. If you will seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, everything you need will be added unto you. Let me give you a picture's worth a thousand words, they say. And let me kind of show you what I'm talking about. Our Mighty Men group, I'm so proud of the ones that are functioning. Let me show you a video real quick of Adrian. This is one of our Mighty Men leaders. And get the heart of what's going on here. Can I show that video?
I'm so pumped. I had to just send you a video about what just happened. This morning, God told me in our campaign on Chester not to minister to the people walking on the streets or the homeless, but to minister to the businesses. So today, our Mighty Men's team went to the businesses downtown, and it was so fruitful. We went into Fred Cummings. We prayed with the employees. They were excited to see VBF Church there. And then we went to a couple, the fire station. We went to the Fox Theater, and there's a new president there. And she was so happy to have us bless the building, bless her, pray for her. She gave us a tour. Some of the guys bought t-shirts, but yeah, new level. Not just ministering to the streets now. We claim that whole block, so we're ministering to the businesses as well. So I just wanted you to know that. See you tomorrow, hopefully. I'll send you some pictures too.
A picture's worth a thousand words. These guys are going out in the streets. They're ministering, and look how happy they are. Look at the next picture. Here's another group. And this right here, they're at the Honda place or the Yamaha. Look, they're ministering to the people there. Next picture. Here's another total group. They went out and handed out food yesterday. Now here's the deal. As we get in these groups, you know, a lot of you need a job. Some of these guys are going to point you toward a job. Some of you need a healing. Some of these guys are going to have counseling about healing. Some of you need a spouse. These guys are going to have leads, all right? And God will fill your needs as we go out and get in these groups and start giving to the poor and giving to the homeless. It says your righteousness will go before you. Your integrity will go before you. Your righteous acts will prepare the way before you. I have a friend who's a pastor in Hawaii, or an acquaintance, and you've probably heard this story before, but one day he was driving down the road, and he saw a bunch of trash in the middle of the road. He pulled over, got out, and started picking it up, putting it in his trunk to take away. And some guy of another faith saw him and said, if that's what Christians do, I want to check this guy's church out. And he went and he got saved. How cool is that? Look at Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those in the house. Do you have this in the Message Bible? It says in the Message, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, I want you to shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Let's look at the fourth promise in Isaiah 58. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Now, a rear guard is symbolic of a group of soldiers that go to the rear of a group on a journey to protect them from being attacked from the rear. And he says, I will be your rear guard. In other words, what it's saying here, God says, when you do what I tell you to do, I'll cover your back. I will have your back, as we say. Again, this homeless center thing down here, I mean, the public attacked us because they thought when I said, let's just be careful with the numbers because we have a lot of people back here that's affected. If we keep below 150 right away, that'll be good. Let us adjust. But they put in the paper, this guy hates the homeless. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you. They look pretty foolish right now because we're leading the way in this homeless thing, and we're excited to do it because God, what? Had our back. You can't do anything to me to hurt me because God has my back. If you want to go around behind me and talk about me and start, you won't work because I give to the poor, my heart's the poor, and God has my back. Number five, your moods will be changed. That's what the text says. It says your moods will be changed. Why? Because once you start doing this, the Spirit of God will be so heavy on you that the Spirit of God is stronger than emotions. It's stronger than the physical. Hello? A lot of you, not all of you, some of you are depressed because of physical things that need to be fixed. But I believe a large percentage of depressed people, if they do what the famous psychiatrist said years ago, he told somebody depressed, this is a very educated psychiatrist, and he says, here's what you're to do. You're depressed. I want you to go down tomorrow to the other side of the tracks, find someone that's hurting really bad, worse than you, and start meeting their needs and see what happens. And I'll tell you, the Spirit of God will become so strong in your life that you won't be able, some of you will not be able to stay depressed. And then number six, let's look at it. See how far we can go. We got about 10, 12 minutes left. He will give you what you need to persevere in the trials of life. Now notice how this is worded. He will give you what you need to persevere, not endure. Persevere has this idea of continuing to go forward in spite of what you're going through. For example, say you have cancer. You know, if you're going to persevere, you're still ministering during the cancer. You're still going. You're not just sitting back trying to, you know, survive, but you're persevering. Again, me when I had my cancer, man, I was persevering. Why? Because the Spirit of God in me was so strong. Right now, I'm going through a trial, and I haven't really told anybody about it, but it's a trial I've lived with for a couple months now. But you know what? When I get involved in service, the trial becomes so small. I vaguely even know it's there. Matthew 6:33, I know you hear it all the time, but again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything will be added to you. What does it say? Seek ye first, and all these things will be added to you. Number seven, he will give strength to your bones. I don't have time to get into what that means, but I'll tell you what, I can use some strength in my physical bones right now, so I'm claiming this promise. I'm going to keep giving the poor, and I'm going to say, God, help my bones. Help my. I know that's not exactly what it means, but I'm going to try it and see what happens. I'll let you know. Help my bones. Number eight, his presence will be increasing in your life. Look at Isaiah 58:9. Here's the promise. It says, then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You'll cry, and he'll say, here I am. That's cool. It's like you'll cry, and you say, I'm right here. I'm right here. If you remove the yoke from your midst and the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Number 9, your kids will be blessed. It says this in the text here. Now, you know, I want you to know, my son's not up here because he's my son. That's not why he's up here. I mean, I have watched Josh over the years. One day he went out to help the homeless, and he would doesn't even want me to say this. He'd be embarrassed. But he came home with no shoes. I said, what happened? He said, well, he didn't have shoes. Here a couple of months ago, he came home without his best jacket. He said, what happened? I said, he didn't have a jacket, Dad. And Josh will never tell you this. He wouldn't ever tell you this. But I watched him laying on the face seeking God when nobody else was. Josh is up here because he's a man after God's own heart. He's not up here because he's related to me. It's because of who he is. And I've watched him through the years minister to the poor. We took the tour of the navigation center. We were all busy getting shots. I look back, Josh was praying with people. He's praying with some of the guests there. He said, this lady thought that she blasphemed the Spirit, Dad, and he was out there praying with her. That's the reason why. Tara, I will call her today, and I call her almost every day. She'll tell me, Dad, here's what went on in our church today. How did your church do? How was your numbers? Your kids will be blessed. They'll follow in your steps. And you know what's so crazy? I preach this stuff, and I almost feel apologetic, but it's all worked in my life. Again, I'm so proud of that. Your kids will be blessed. Okay, we're going to start turning the corner here, but you say, okay, Ron, I'm with you. I wish you'd go over the other 12 things, or I don't have time. But you're saying, hey, okay, this is great. I love it. Where do I find these poor people to minister to? Where do I find them? Pastor Ron, I'm not out there in the marketplace a lot. Where do I find them? Well, I'm going to say again, usually it's not the people standing on the street corners. Usually it's not them. Now, when I go to a street corner and see these people, I pray every time, God, should I give, should I? And 90% of the time, he says, no, keep on going, keep on going. Many of these legitimate poor people are already among us. They're at VBF. They're at Valley Vegas. They're at the Navigation Center. If we love the people among us, God will bring more of them to us. They're right here. Now, I told you this morning, I hope you looked. I want the single parents to stand. Those are some people we need to help. They're not poor necessarily, but it's tough to raise kids when you're a single parent. We need to minister to them. Again, the definition of the poor, I believe in the Bible, is people who are sincerely trying to get right. That's the definition of the poor. That's the reason for the tire giveaway today. People who are in the parking lot in their cars, they're trying to get it right. They're coming to church. The single parents that stood. The orphans in our orphanage. Let me throw a pic. I'm getting another orphan every week. This is Dennis. Now, leave it up here a second. Dennis, his special talents is riding bicycles and soccer. Past. Now keep on, hold on to that thought for a second. Dennis was living under extreme poverty before coming to Siloam Orphanage. Unfortunately, Dennis' mother, Grace, passed away from taking her own life. She was a single mom. This little Dennis is totally an orphan. Presently, he's a fairly quiet child who has suffered some traumatic experience. He adapted to living at our orphanage quickly and easily. Future, he'll be joining grade 1 next term. He wants to be a coach to help nurture talents. He's always position 1 in his class. Prayer needs, uniforms, food, health, and basic essential needs. None of our 152 children have bicycles. Whenever the fireman brings the wood for our kitchen with his bicycle, our kids run to ride his bike. It just says his special talents riding bikes, but he doesn't have a bike. And so I'm telling you, we have 152 orphans. Stay with me. I'm going to take this somewhere. I want to go back to Mexico. I'm looking for a team leader that will risk their life to go to Mexico. They might die down there. I don't know. But lead a team down there. Mexico's rough right now. I mean, you have the gangs and everything. But I think somebody's tough enough in here to say, I'm going to get a team together. And if I end up dead in Mexico, we're going to take it down to Mexico again. And I want to go. I don't think I'm going to go. But he's going to lead you to go. I'm needed back here to preach, okay? No, I will go too. I will go too. After you go down and scout it out and tell me it's safe, I'll go. Honesty, huh? Transparency. Plus one, we ask you to bring a dollar today and drop it off. Did they tell you what to do with your dollar today? Did they tell you what to do with it? Yes or no? You don't know what to do with it? Well, I don't either. I just schedule this stuff. On the way out, drop your dollar in a box. Ushers, I want you, okay, ushers are going to be standing by the door. They're going to take your dollar. If you don't have a dollar and only have $100, we'll take that also. We'll take your credit card, anything you want to drop in there. Plus one today. We're going to do something special for our city. The Lincoln Street Home Ministry, Crisis Pregnancy Center Ministry. Someone wrote me this week about the Lincoln Street Center Home. They said, Pastor Ron, it's the coolest thing. These are for pregnant mothers who are recovering from drugs. And so when we first went in there, none of them knew the Lord. And so we saw three saved last week, give their lives to the Lord. And they're now praying for one another. We have a Change Our City. It's a ministry we have over at the Northwest. And we have beds and couches and washers and dryers. And I want you to do something for me. In this next month or two, when you clean your garages, I want you to give stuff to our center over in the Northwest. Because we're giving this stuff away to people. Look at these four picks just the last few months. This lady and child got a new bed. Look at the next one. This lady got a new couch. Look at the next one. This lady got a washer or dryer. Look at the next one. A bed. We're giving this stuff away at the Northwest, but where are we getting it? We're getting it from you. You were getting it from you. We were part of CityServe. We're not really as much part of that now. What we're doing is asking you. Some of you have washers and dryers that are extra, and you might want to sell them for $30. What's $30? Give them to us. They have to be in good condition. We're turning them away if they're not. They've got to work. But washers, dryers, couches, beds, bedding, refrigerators, kitchenware, small appliances, tables and chairs, diapers, baby products. Just deliver them to us. And right now, we're taking deliveries from 12 to 4 on Thursdays at the Northwest facility. 12 to 4 on Thursdays, you bring your stuff, good stuff, not bad stuff. Or if you have something that needs to be picked up or whatever, or you want to arrange another delivery time, go on our webpage and you'll see a link there. And there's a form to fill out. Say, I got something I want to donate. I mean, for ages, I've wanted to have like a garage sale out here. Have everybody clean their garages, bring stuff out here, and have other people in the church praying for certain needs. And instead of selling, we just give it to them. It's a giveaway garage sale. Vegas, are you listening to me? Vegas, if you need anything, just call us and we can send a truck over there. You might say, we need a couple couches over here. We need a bed. We're one church. Call us, Vegas, and we'll send a truck over there with whatever we have in our warehouse. But you guys are going to have to donate. If you know places that give stuff away like this, please help us. Let's just blow our community away. Now I'm going to really start ending this. I want to show you some videos of Vegas, what they're doing too. Vegas, I want to include you today. Look what they do once a month. They have this big food giveaway. And during COVID, people drive through and they just open up their trunk and throw stuff in. Look at this. Look at the next one. Look at all that stuff. Look at all that stuff. Look at the next one. And the next one, I think we have one more. Or is that it? Okay. They're over there and Vegas is doing a bang. They said, we can't stop this ministry because our neighbors are all, just hundreds of people are coming down. And so become a part of that. Let's end with these verses. I'm going to give you some simple instructions and we're going home. Look at 1 John 4:8. The one who does not love does not know God, doesn't know him intimately because he is love. And you're automatically going to love if you know God. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. How many wants your sins covered? Love does it. Look at John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Here it is in a nutshell. Number one, anybody can do it. Tithe and give to the church. Because we, in turn, give to Africa, we give to orphans, we pay people's PG&E, we give to Crisis Pregnancy Center, we give to Teen Challenge, we give to everybody. So that's one way you can have these promises in your life. Give regularly to your church, and we will disperse the monies. Number two, volunteer. The Navigation Center, right now, we'll know in the next short while, they're going to need people to come down there and serve food. They're going to need all of this, and so we can volunteer. Change Our City. We need people over there at the warehouse. taking stuff out. See, it's just one thing to collect the stuff. Then we have to take it out to the people that have needs. That's over at our Northwest facility. We could use volunteers. People going out asking for donations. Do you have that kind of courage to go out to these big stores and say, could you donate to our ongoing giving to the poor? Even working in CE here so other people can hear messages like this. I mean, just become part of the team. Number three, pray for the poor. And number four, leave prepared every day. Live with your eyes open. God's going to put poor people in your life. You're going to see them at work. You're going to see them in the neighborhood. I mean, let's be a team. If you drive by a house and say, Pastor Ron, or Pastor Tom, or Pastor Hector, this house in my neighborhood is a sweet little widow lady, and her roof is just bad. We'll do a plus one like we did back here and go put a roof on her house. We don't care if she comes to church or not. That doesn't make a difference. Be our ears. Be our eyes. Again, I said last week, maybe have a packet during the day with a Twinkie in it or something and a little verse or Bible or anything's better than nothing. And go leave your house prepared. Have some fire starter books that you give out to people. And I go on and on. Would you do me a favor this week, pray? I have the privilege next week of speaking to a conference of 200,000 pastors and leaders. And I'm going to tell them all about my philosophy of life. And that's a world conference taking place Monday through Friday. And I'm going to be one of the speakers. So please take that to prayer Monday through Friday. Say, anoint Pastor Ron's word. Anoint the message he's given to all these 200,000 pastors and leaders. With that, I'm going to end, and I'm on time. Did you get something? Yeah. Was it cool? Yeah. Are you going to go to the next chapter? And I bet you're betting that your car, hoping your car has something on there for tires today, huh? We're going to continue to do this stuff. We're going to blow you away. And here's the deal. You single parents and people that are struggling, don't be bashful. As your pastor, I'm commanding you, tell us your needs so we can help you. Tell us your needs so we can help you. Two or three times, you never know when we're going to do it. We have done reversed offerings. You remember those times? Where you come in, instead of taking an offering, we have thousands of dollars in cash, and we pass it around and ask you to take money. And we might be doing that again soon. I won't tell you what service. I won't. But remember when we did that two or three times, I told all you struggling people, some of you are praying for a jacket for your kids. You're praying for a TV. Yours is broken. If you don't take some of that money out of the plate, you sin. You sin before God. Because you've been asking, we're meeting your needs right now. And so let's go back. We needed this refreshener today. We need to be a church of love. Love needs to be our number one thing above anything else. And we're going to look for creative ways to do that. Let me pray this. Father God, today we thank you for the message. I planted the seed. I can go to Taco Bell now and enjoy my day. I planted the seed. Now it's up to the people to do whatever they're supposed to do. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior and you're out there today, all you have to do, get alone somewhere today and say, Lord, I want to become your child. Send your Holy Spirit, live in my body, and give me the strength I need to start serving God today. And you'll be saved. You'll be born again. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this message and what we're going to do with it. We're going to see new blessings come into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.